Okay, let's see if we can get a little of that chill off of you. Get a little heat going up here. This message today is meant to be an encouraging message and a teaching message. And we're going to find it over in Philippians chapter 4. And it'll be in the New International Version. And it'll be up here. And I'll read it to you. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Yet let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything." And I bet a lot of us read that and say, yeah, right. But that's what he said. Yeah, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We read through that, and it's so easy to read it and not catch everything he's talking about. This is a familiar passage for anybody that reads the Bible very much, and a lot of us will use that. We get upset and you get worried about this or that, and what's going to happen in the freeze or in the kids or grandkids or great-grandkids or husband or wife, job, whatever it is. And you get worried. And you get anxious. And suddenly you're letting things get to you, and he's saying, here's a method, here's a little place to go for you to be able to deal with these things and for God to forgive God control and give God the glory and let God handle it. And he said, just the Lord is near. He's right here. He's coming. But he's here. He lives in you. Your body is the temple, living God, temple, Holy Spirit. And he said, God's here. He's near. It's not, Christianity is not just waiting for God to come back. It's enjoying God for living within us right now. He never really left us. When Jesus left this earth, he said over in John, "I'm going to send you a counselor who will be with you forever. He is the Holy Spirit." And so he's here. And we look forward to his return, but I'm trying to just learn to allow him to live right now. I mean, his spirit's in me, and he's my hope of glory. Christ in me, my hope of glory. And so it's like, let him live, friends. Let him live. Don't spend this life saying, well, I hope the Lord comes real soon. I do too. But in the meantime, I have him in his spirit in my heart. What am I going to do about that? So he's here. He's near. And he hears. In every situation, he said, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about it. Is anybody anxious this morning about anything? Any anxious people here? Nobody's a worrier in this group, are they? Okay, I got a whole church of solid faith. I knew that before we started. Huh? What is it? What is it? Oh, nothing. Don't worry about it, Tony. Okay. So no worriers. Nobody's got a temper. Nobody gets upset. I know this is the calmest, coolest. I'm glad you're visiting here today. You're visiting the most calm, cool bunch of Christian people you've ever been with in your life. And none of them have any worries. Anything happens, they just say, the Lord's near. He's got this. And nobody cusses at anybody on the road. Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm glad to know that. No liars here, okay? And he's saying, just remember, you know, that in every situation, by prayer and petition, and we'll talk about that in a moment, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends, and it goes beyond all understanding. You know, it transcends it. It means it's not human. God's peace. He said, if you'll just do this, his peace, which you can't even comprehend, which is bigger than all of us, it goes beyond all our understanding. He said, that peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Not only about you, but I suspect as much as I do, I need God's peace to really overcome all the things I worry about. Out where I live, I'm on a well, and the water pipes are overhead instead of underground. So every time it comes, a situation comes around like this, there's always concern that, hey, I've got to keep the, you know, I put a light bulb, 100-watt light bulb in the pump house. You'd be amazed at how much one light bulb can heat a small unit that's insulated. But then it has to go in and go into pipes that are overhead. Can you believe that? That when the house was built, they put the pipes in the attic. And so it ventilated as much as it possibly can. But still, there's always that concern. It's like we've been through this before. I've been through that, lived through it before. Yet when it's you hear that the temperature is going to drop, there's that worry. Am I dripping the faucets enough? But not too much because you're on a well. So you got to be careful about all that. And there's a balancing act. So which means that the heating unit's on propane. And so now you're balancing between how long can I let the heating unit run versus once how quickly drain the propane tank. And I called the propane guy and he said, "What are you at?" I said, "It's on 54. And I've got and he said, "I can't come and fill it till you get on 40. And I thought, well, I guess that'll be about midnight Monday night. But, but you know, that's just that pessimism. And he said, because I can't put in less than 100 gallons. And so you get anxious in this balancing act. And are the faucets wrapped correctly? And on and on and on we go. Because we know nothing in this state, not in this part of the country, is insulated worth a flip. And nothing was made for this kind of weather. And we don't want it to get below 50, you know, and it just can't handle that. So anyway, when it does, you add all that on and say, oh my goodness. So yes, I didn't sleep well last night because I kept being concerned and checking to make sure that everything's dripping. And you've got all those things and it just keeps you awake. And finally drifting off to sleep, and it's like, and what are you going to be bringing a message on tomorrow? Oh, yeah, great. Okay, you're bringing a message on, don't be anxious about anything, but everything but prayer and petition. And it's like, and so have you mastered this, Tony? Are you kidding? I'm so glad Paul wrote in Scripture that he has not overcome all these things. And I thought, I'm glad he said that, or I'd really feel like I was a loser. He said, I have achieved all these things I write about that I want. He said, the only thing I've learned to do, you remember, is what? Forget what lies behind and press on to what lies ahead. I press on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm so glad he said that. I need that. Because I sure haven't arrived there yet. I have to bring this word, but it doesn't mean I'm able to do all of it yet. I'm just still learning. And so I was fretting and concerned, and then I've got 90 miles, right at 90 miles to drive to get here. And so I'm thinking about the roads, and then all of a sudden it's like God is saying, are you even going to be able to bring the message? Need to stop and take medication? That's what I was feeling in my, you know, you want to pull over in Kerrville and get something? Are we going to make this? And yeah, you know, and I have to hear, and that's what I hear in my mind. That's what I call the Lord speaking to me. And it's like, yeah, I know. You've got to bring this message, and you need to share and show your own weaknesses. And I don't like, you know, I don't want to get up here and ever act like I'm something I'm not. I don't, and because God doesn't want any of us doing that. And I've had to listen and be under and be taught by too many pastors and professors in seminary and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, guys, why don't you get off your high horse and be real and human and act, you know, you act like, so many of them act like none of this stuff bothers them. Are you kidding? We'd be shocked at what goes on. No, I don't. You know, behind the doors of anybody, it don't care what you do, priest, pastor, what difference it make? We're all human. So back to this, God will help you if you'll just let Him. And then He says, brothers and sisters, He says, I'm going to give you something else to focus on. See, God, listen, God will not tell you to leave something alone without giving you something else to go to. Just read the Scripture for what it's worth and let the Scripture explain Scripture. And we've said this many times in a message here a week or two ago, you know, you can't leave an old habit unless you have a good one to go to. You can't stop this unless you have a goal or priority, something to move towards. And he says, I'm going to help you. He said, I'm going to help you here. He says, I want you to learn to focus on whatever is noble And whatever is right, whatever is pure, and whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He said, get your mind on these virtues. Godly character virtues, Christ virtues. And he said, that way you're not going to be overcome with worry and all the anxiety and all the stresses. I'm giving you something to focus on becoming so that this stuff doesn't suck you in again. Well, we all get sucked in. We're programmed. We grow up in homes. Did any of you grow up in homes where one or more of the parents, or maybe both, were worriers or complainers? You're not knocking your family, but I mean, they're just critical, had bad attitude. Maybe they were judgmental. Did anybody have those kind of problems? Okay. And so it's hard to overcome that. Did anybody grow up in a home where someone was real high-tempered, throwing a fit all the time? Cussing all the time? We all grew up in homes. Oh, good, I'm glad we grew up in homes where nobody cussed at all. That's really good to hear. But see, and that's not knocking parents or your environment. Or maybe you went to school in a place where, it just wasn't the greatest place in the world, and there was just too many drugs and all kinds of problems. The thing is, those things are embedded in there and they become strongholds, and we revert back to them. And we, especially, you know, if you grow up in worrying and depressed family, dysfunctional families. Anybody have dysfunctional families and you're just confused? I mean, you never had a role model of what a good dad was like or a good mom was like, and God help you, bless you. And so all of a sudden, God is saying, I want to help you. Because when you get in a little crisis, things get a little rough for you, you tend to revert back to what you know. And God's saying, I want you to revert to me. I want you to go to me. I want you to develop my character and let my son Jesus Christ be in you fully and completely through the power of his Holy Spirit. So focus on what's true. Focus what I say is true in here. Focus on what's pure. Focus on what's lovely. And whatever's admirable and excellent or praiseworthy. He said, think about these things. Think about these things. Think about these things. Not once a day, but all during the day. When you go to bed at night, when you wake up in the morning, you'll be thinking about these things that take you away from and keep you above all this other worldly stuff that you've grown up with. We all have. We all have weaknesses. We all have generational sins. And there's strongholds in our lives. And we need to break it. Some of you get under stress. What do? You don't have to say a word. We know human nature. Some of you, it's just like, if I just could get that drink, if I could just drink so much, I just will feel, I know, and I'll feel better. Yeah, you might till the next morning. Or if I can just smoke this stuff or take this stuff, I'm going to be all, this just makes me feel better. Well, sure, it might make you feel better for the moment, but it does not treat the problem. A lot of medicines, unfortunately, are the same way, aren't they? They treat the symptoms, but only Christ can go to the problem, the root of it, and heal that. And that's what you have to let him do. And so that's what he says. Focus on these, and it gets to the root of it. And this pulls you away from this other. And whatever you've learned or received or heard from him, put into practice, and God of peace be with you. So let's look at all this. And we'll just take a few notes, and then we'll get in, and we'll teach a few things, what some of these things actually mean, bring it from the Greek, and what it means in practical application. Now I'm just, I really emphasize, don't bring God's word without helping people understand how to live it. Nothing more frustrating than somebody say, thus saith the Lord, or God says, don't do this. When we get into the Ten Commandments one of these days, which I'm really looking forward to going through and teaching those in their practical application. You know, it's one thing to say, thou shalt not. It's another saying, and here's how you do that and keep from that, or how you fulfill what God wants. So we've tried to make it practical. So first point, listen to this. So let's just get over this, okay? Joy comes only from God. So go ahead and get it in your heart. Joy only comes from the Lord. Does anybody raise children in this group? Okay. You find that joy only comes from the Lord. Anybody raise teenagers? that helps you to realize this verse is so true. Joy only comes from the Lord. Because, you know, you're little, you're just precious. And then they hit the teenager stage. And all of us look at ourselves. I mean, was anyone in here just an ideal Christian teenager? Thank you, sir. There's one there. You're really laughing on that one. Okay. Can you believe it? Do that right here in the message? I mean, we go through that. And as parents, you come to a point where it's like, oh, I don't want to come home from work. I don't have to deal with that kid. You just get to that place. We just love them. And just like God loves us, I wonder if God was human, what would he think about all of us? I think some of us are perpetual teenagers. We never grow out of it. But you learn, God teaches you through life, through kids, through husband and wife. Did you marry someone thinking that they were going to be the ones that break that be your total source of joy? Till you got in your first argument? 15th argument? 150th argument? You think you got that perfect job until you really get into it and find out, oh. Friends, listen. Or, get this. You think you found the perfect church. What a disappointment to so many Christians to find out, you know what causes churches not to be perfect people? You know, you think you found the perfect church, the perfect pastor, and then that crude awakening shock happens. They're human. And things happen. And yes, you can have a good spirit-filled place, great church, but even church, if you're not careful, if you make it too big in your life, worship, you know, all this, if you make it the church as an institution too big in your life, it'll steal your joy. Government will steal your, well, I don't have to say that, do I? Okay. Anything in life, your ideal car, that great truck you got, sooner or later, it will steal your joy. And so what you have to realize, God allows things in our lives. He lets things happen. Anything made by man will eventually become unjoyful. Is that a good word? Lacking in joy, I'll put it that way. Nothing, nobody, no circumstance can give you true joy, and it sure can't give you continual happiness. So, how can you be happy? How can you have joy when there's tough circumstances and a lot of times a lot tougher people to deal with? You ever ask yourself practically, then how can I, it says rejoice in the Lord always. How are you going to do that really from your heart? How can we do that? You ever ask yourself that? It says to do it. And so how do I get it done? You will not and you cannot be joyful about bad things happening. As a matter of fact, to me, there's not much more offensive than when you're in trouble or you've had some hardship happen or, God forbid, somebody close to you, you know, went to be with the Lord and somebody walks up and says, it's okay, it's just God's will. You know, and you're saying, so is this. How crude, how cold. I know it might be meant well, but friends, listen to me. You cannot and you will not be happy with bad circumstances, and that's not what he told you. What is he saying? Rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice and let your gentleness be evident to all. What was he saying? He's saying this. Listen to this. God is not telling you that you're supposed to jump up and down laughing and think it's funny when something bad happens to you or someone close to you. He knows it's going to make you sad, even depressed, upset. So what's he saying? He's saying, I want you to learn. Listen to this. Because this is a practical point in this. He's saying, I want you to learn to be joyful in the fact that the will of God is happening here. In other words, I want you to rejoice, be happy, be joyful, not in the event, not in the bad thing, not in the bad person, not in the bad circumstance, but I want you to be rejoicing, to be joyful with that the will of God is foremost in your life. You follow me here? That no matter what, you're rejoicing because what? Philippians 4 tells you this. Now, right here, the same thing. I mean, and I'm said Philippians, Romans. And you go over to Romans 8, and what does it say? God, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So you say, so what are you saying? I'm saying this. You will have joy if the will of God is the most important thing in your life. Because you know that He knows what's happening, He knows how and why it happened, and He already has the solution, and it's not the circumstance. Get your eyes above this level and begin to look to God and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And what does that mean? Lord, I'm rejoicing in Your will because it's perfect. It's pure and it'll be complete. And Lord, as I rejoice, I'm crying, I'm hurting, I'm down, I'm depressed. But I also know that Your will is at work here, and that is my highest joy. That's where you're to aim. That's what lifts you up above the rest of mankind. It doesn't mean you laugh through bad circumstances or when there's nasty people around you, but it means you have hope and you begin to say, I have pleasure not in what's happening, but in the fact that God is happening and His will is the highest reach in my life, the biggest. It's my mountain of joy, the will of God. You ever thought about it? And you focus on that and you go for that. You can be happy that God's working it out and He's going to bring good from this some way or another. You're going to have to get your head wrapped around a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of thinking. As Christians, we sometimes go with the flow of the world and listen to what God's saying. He's saying, rejoice in this. In the Lord. What is that? In my will. And He said, let your gentleness be known to all. We're going to talk about it here for a moment. Why does He talk about it? All of a sudden, you know, in all these circumstances and do all this and the Lord is near to not be anxious about it. But He said, but before we get there, He says, let your gentleness. Why does He have to tell me to be gentle? Why does He emphasize right there, be gentle? Well, what's the first thing we tend to do when something's not right? Well, we're not gentle. We get all cranky and ornery. And my sister called me a few days ago, and I wasn't having especially good day. I've been out there working hard trying to tie all this stuff around the faucets and all that. Anyway, and I don't know. Sometimes, you know, she listens to these. I like to pick on her when she's, you know. But this is just for you, sister. And she called, and she started doing what she usually does, trying to mother me. And then, you know, as sisters will, and you ought to do this, and you ought, and if I was you, and I just said, her name's Debbie, and I said, Deb, I'm real cranky today, so don't go any further. And she started laughing, and she went further. You know why? Because she's a sister, and she saw that red button glowing and said, let me see how far I can push this button now. That happens in marriage too, doesn't it? Oh, you know, it happens in friendships. You see a weakness and you know somebody's afraid of snakes. Why do you want to find rubber snakes and put them in place? Why do you do that? You know, just push it. Just push it. And you know that someone just doesn't like a particular thing and you just push it. Well, that's our human nature, friends. Listen. And He's saying, be careful, don't get hard, don't get cranky. And if you do, do the right thing. Listen, really seriously, I believe in that. If you're having a bad day and somebody's talking to you or whatever, husband, wives, listen to this. Be honest and just say, you know what, I'm just irritable. I don't know why I woke up cranky this morning. won't you be real honest and say, today I woke up and I just really would like to have an argument, so would you please not get too close to me? Yeah, we do that, don't we? You just wake up in a mood and you're just waiting to tear into somebody. Well, it sure got quiet. That's the way we are as people. And he's saying, you've got to be gentle. Don't you lose your gentleness. Be gentle and show it. You know, gentleness here, by the way, the word gentle here, you know what it really means in the Greek? It means the willingness. Get this. You ready? If you're taking notes, you know, because these definitions, and when you translate it to English, sometimes it's hard. But in the Greek, this word gentle, and it's only the way it was used in the Greek term for tense for gentle here. Here's what it meant. It meant the willingness to yield one's personal rights and show consideration to all. But you love that one, don't you? The willingness to yield one's personal rights and show consideration to all. See, it's not like we thought. We think gentleness is, and we pat somebody and be sweet, and that's part of it. But used here, he said, I want you to yield, listen to this, your personal right to be mad. I want you to yield it to me, is what he's saying. I want you to yield to me, the Lord, your personal right to be mad, to be angry, to be cranky, to be upset. Say, Lord, this is what I feel, but I'm yielding that because I do it in consideration of others who do not deserve my bad moment. They deserve the joy of the Lord flowing out of me, and the only way they're going to get that is if I'm willing to bend and yield my personal right to be mad about this. Isn't that powerful? Really? And it's hard to do, but as you begin to do it, you begin to be transformed. And you begin to be more like Him. Jesus, how does the world see Jesus? Through you and me. He's in us. Our body is His temple. And so we begin to be conformed to His image when we begin to understand the Scripture and its practical application. And so I begin to yield my right to be mad, to get even, to cuss at you, to throw stones or whatever, or to be even depressed. That doesn't mean I'm instantly over it, but I begin to yield that right that I claim to that. And what? I do it so that I don't hurt you. And suddenly I'm a different person. And eventually, sooner than you think, things aren't getting to you like they used to. This is good stuff. And then he says, you got to give it to God and keep giving it. Just give it to God. What? Whatever it is. Whatever's upsetting you. Whatever's wrong at work. Whatever's the matter at home. Whatever, just whatever. Maybe the doctor told you something that's you don't want to hear. And you have to deal with it. Give it to God. And we hear that in messages, right? But this one has, we're just going to go a little further. Listen, why is it? And how often do you fill up your vehicle once and just keep going and never fill it again? I mean, is anything you got to take care of, that, right? You got to recharge batteries. But when it comes to Christ, we think we can just petition Him one time. Petition means I appeal. That I'm appealing to Him. There's all kinds of praise and different types of prayers. But petition means I put whatever it is before God that's concerning me, I'm appealing to Him for His direct involvement, His direct action to solve this thing. Why is it that we as Christians will do that once or twice and think that's it? Why hasn't God responded? With Christ, prayer is a continual thing. And just because God has not yet answered that prayer that you began a month ago, a year ago, or a week ago, or yesterday, you keep giving it to Him. And you keep petitioning until God says yes, no, or wait. And He'll show you. because prayer changes us, and you have to keep petitioning. Listen, don't be a one-time Christian. Give it to God and keep giving it. He says, be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. And I'm quoting another translation, that's what I'm used to, but in New International Version, which we're using today, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't let it get to you. And he says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Why am I supposed to be thankful? Because I know he's going to answer one way or another. Why? Because my greatest joy is what? His will. This is in succession here. My greatest joy is his will, so then I can rejoice because I know that God's will is going to be performed, and God loves me, therefore all things work to the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You have to get the new way of thinking, this difference in your heart. Listen to me. Listen to what God says. Listen, you are only a victim if you choose to be a victim. You can be proactive and get on it and do this stuff. Don't let the devil make a victim out of you with anything. You say, well, I'm not a victim. Well, let me ask you this. You ever go out of that house where you live, where you work, and you leave there saying, I knew this wasn't going to work out. I knew we weren't going to get a raise. I knew. You're a victim. And you're talking yourself into being a real victim. Now, I know none of you do that. Oh, I've done it once or twice. I knew that wasn't going to work out. I don't know why I tried. I've gone to deal with some people in their mess-ups, and I walked out of there, and I knew that wasn't going to work. Well, if that was your attitude, why'd you even go? Listen, friends, you're only a victim if you choose to be a victim, and you can come out on top if you really want to come out on top, because that's why you focus and know that God is fulfilling his will for you. You give God control of your thoughts, and you give God control over your circumstances. And you stop making up your own story about things. I used to hit on this more in messages. It's been a while. How many of you gotten back to where you're writing a story about things? Something happens. Something's going on. And in your head, you just write a whole story about it. How many? Okay, thank you. How many novels have you written in the last month? And you've written a novel. And you know why they did it, and you know what's going on, and what happens. In most of these things we write, guess, you know, the main subject is not God. When we start writing, we're making up our own story about what's going on, it's about me. The whole book's about me, and how life is about me, and they're against me. And I saw them whispering over there. They were talking about me. You don't know that, but you wrote a story about it. There's more fiction writers in here. Why don't you write this stuff and sell it? Think about the stories we write in our head and we have no clue. I've even had people come up to me and say, I'm really offended. Yeah, I mean, and they say it in other words than that. I'm being real polite. I'm real offended at that message. Why? Because you were looking at me. You wrote that message for at me, didn't you? Sure, that's what I do. I go home and I sit up all night just thinking about you. I went to sleep and woke up this morning, had your name on my lips, and said, I'm going to go up there and get them today. Isn't that a story? And of course, we all know the comeback for that one because it's true. If you feel like the message was aimed at you, the truth is the message was aimed at you. Yeah, God is speaking to you. Pastor didn't sit there, you know, and I can assure the whole world, I don't sit there thinking of any individual person, I'm going to really knock them over with, boy, I hope they hear this. That it's a story, and we write, think about stories that even husbands and wives write about each other. And we just make up this whole thing. And God says, you got to stop this stuff and give me control of it. Stop making up a story. Now, how do you stop this stuff? You can overcome anything through, you ready? Prayer, we know that. Secondly, faith. And beside faith, you can put hope, love, and thanksgiving. And thanksgiving. And thanksgiving. You say, I don't see in any way that, you know, once again, not the circumstance. Thanksgiving. Thank you, God. You knew this was going to happen. You saw it coming. Before I was born, you knew this was going to happen on this very minute, this very day. And yet you let me be born and you let me go through it. Therefore, your will is working here. And that's what I rejoice in, Lord. That the will of God is at work here. And when it's all said and done, God will have performed something that was far beyond me to make me more like Christ. This is not fanciful stuff. This is real life and real Christianity and the way it works. So I need to close. We're kind of cold. And we need to move on. So I close with this. You take these Christian virtues and just become. And I'm going to give you a definition. This is a real teaching part here. It's the practical application. But finally, brethren, what are things are true, noble, just, pure? Let's go through this list. And I'll tell you what it meant in the original. You ready? Because it's pretty cool. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Everybody agree with that? And here's virtues. He says, you follow these. I want you to start focusing on this and get away from all these other things and these strongholds which need to be brought down in the authority of Jesus' name and these generational sins that's been there in your family. He said, I want you to start focusing on first on truth. We say, well, okay, God's word is true. Exactly. The word in the Greek, that word that he used for true meant valid, reliable, honest. And he said, that's what I want you to become. I want you to focus on it. I want you to be valid. I want you to be reliable. And I want you to be honest. That's a virtue. This word true encompasses that. Sure, it's a focus on God's truth, but what is God making us into? Valid, reliable, honest people. Friends, let me say one thing about this. Somebody asks you something you don't know, just say them, tell them you don't know. And if somebody's trying to get you to do something and you know it's not God's will to do it, then just tell them. Just not God's will for me to do it. You ever go to places, do things, eat foods that you don't really want to do, don't want to eat? Why don't you just be honest and be up front? And speak the truth in love. You don't have to be rude. You can say, you know, that just bothers me. I appreciate it, but I just can't do that. I can't eat that. You know? Poached oysters are not my thing. You know? Maybe that's what it is. Or snails. You like snails, don't you? Anybody else like snails? Buttered snails? Oh, good for you. How many, I can't remember. How many like tuna casserole? There's one hand back there, thank you. There's one there. Well, you like tuna casserole? I'm going to pray for all of you. How many? Another? Good. We will. I'll remember you special tonight. But when somebody really, once in a while I'll go somewhere and somebody says, would you like this or tuna casserole maybe, or would you like me to fix you some meatloaf? It's like, I'll take up beanie weenies warmed up, but don't get me tuna casserole. And so that, anyway, valid, reliable, and honest. And that word noble, do you know what the word noble means in the Greek? Here, used in this passage, worthy of respect. He said, that's what I want you to shoot for. I want you to be a person that everybody can point their finger at and say, that man, that woman is worthy of respect. They keep their word. They're reliable. They're valid. They're honest. And then the word just. What in the world? It means upright. Conformable to God. Worthy of God's approval. I said, wow, that's quite a definition for that one word. And by the way, I use the word just. In the New International Version, it's right. And it reads here, do not, and it says, whatever's true, noble, whatever is right. But actually that word literally means just or upright, conformable to God. Worthy of God's approval. Whoa. Wow. In other words, it's saying, I want you to live a life that God can say, job well done, my good and faithful servant. You know what part of that includes? It includes when I'm human and I really mess it up. That I can say to God and whoever I messed it up with, I blew it. I messed it up. I sinned. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I can look at another person, husband or wife, church member, fellow Christian, children, and I can say, I'm sorry. I really messed it up. Would you forgive me? Friends, that's the virtue that every one of us must have. Make no excuse. No excuse. Give no blame. Take it on the chin and be straight up with God. Valid, reliable, honest, worthy of respect. Worthy of God's approval, because God approves of that honesty. None of us can be perfect, and we need to be able to accept in ourselves, I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to go to that person and look at them and say, my tone of voice, those words I used were not of Christ, and I ask your forgiveness, and you'll grow, and you're worthy of respect. You got it? Of God's approval. Lovely. The word lovely in here means I'm pleasing, I'm agreeable, I'm amiable. It means I'm easy to get along with. Are we all easy to get along with? Can people just come up and put their arm around you and you say the good soft words and everybody just loves, they just follow after you like you're the Pied Piper? Or do people kind of tiptoe around saying, don't tick them off? And God's saying, this is one of my virtues, Christian virtues. I want you to be pleasing and agree. It doesn't mean you lie down and let people walk on you, but it means you're easy to get along with. You don't insist on your own way. You're not stubborn and obstinate, hard-headed all the time. There's a time for all of us, but is anybody hard-headed? Really, that you know, you're just really too stubborn and hard-headed for your own good. Oh, my goodness. Okay, thank you. Oh, you're pointing at your husband. Oh. Anybody else? Are you? You are? You're stubborn, hard-headed? Okay. See that honesty. God's, that's really great. I appreciate you do that. There's not a person in this room that'd say I'm stubborn and hard-headed, is it? Nah, I am. Those of you that's known me a long time can say, yeah, and it takes a bit. But when I lock my, and it's called locking your heels. You lock your heels up, and I get a look in my eye. My sister warns me. My sister's good for me. I really want to hurt her, but she's good for me. She'll tell me, I can tell you're being hard-headed again, being stubborn. And she'll look at when I'm with her. She'll say, "You got there it is." Now, there's what? And she'll say, it's in your eyes, it's in your jaw. And she said, whatever that people are trying to, somebody be talking, whatever, they want me to do something. She said, you're not anymore going to do that in a man of moon. I just saw it just now. Won't you just tell them? Won't you just tell them? Won't you just say to them, I'm being stubborn and hard-headed, and I am not going to do it. And it's like, no, I'm not. I'm just going to stomp my foot. And that's it. So some of you that raised your hands, I guess if it comes to a little argument, it must be a real, real big deal in your family, huh? I saw hands go up both here back there. That must be some real fun times when you two. You haven't shot him yet, okay. I don't know what you folks visiting with us are thinking about all this, but it's an honest bunch anyway. Anyway, that's what it means. And he says, just be easier to get along with. Why? So that people will come to you and you have a chance in whatever way God's gifted you to share the Lord with them. Maybe by just things you do or not do, or your attitude, your expression, or you just witness to them. And we're closing. Here's the last one. He says, he uses this thing in here, and if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Now, what in the world is he talking about there? It means admirable, attractive. It means true to the highest standards. He said, I want you, instead of worrying about what clothes you're wearing, to be real concerned about the attitude that you put on every day. Instead of dressing up with all this and being so concerned that all of this is in place, he said, I want you to be more concerned that Jesus Christ and his attitude in you is in place. And clothe yourself with the attitude of Jesus. And you take these virtues and you put them together. And he said, this will deliver you and put you on the right path. And you'll move from being all upset and circumstances and people just sending you spiraling down into depression and anxiety and crankiness and all these other things. And he said, this will put you on top. And you're going to see that God is bigger than you and bigger than your problems and bigger than the devil and the devil's people. He's bigger than the government and he's bigger than everything, and you're going to walk out of this thing and God will in the end, what does he say? Give you his peace that transcends all understanding. Is this great? Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the love of it and the power of it and the transforming, how do we say it? Strength of your spirit that's in this word to just change us and mold us. And God, do that and keep our hearts open to do that. Take the edge away. Take the resistance away. And yes, if when we're stubborn and hard-headed and we're active, God, remind us that your will is our joy. And you got this. And you cause all things to work to the good of those that love you and are called according to your purpose. And we're going to have your peace in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. 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 God bless you for coming out here this morning.